Time for another community spotlight here on 88.1 MyFM and LanarkLeeds.ca. Bob Perot with you. Very pleased to be joined by a trio of guests from the Leeds Grenville and Lanark District Health Unit. We start with Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health. Welcome back, Dr. Lee.
Pleasure to be here.
Dana Douglas is a registered dietitian and public health nutritionist. Welcome back, Dana.
Thank you.
And Jessica McKenzie joins us again, public health nurse and health equity coordinator. Hello.
Thanks, Bob.
Let's get right into it. This week, we're talking about food insecurity, the nutritious food basket, health equity, and the living wage. Now, this is something that it's a benchmark we look forward to speaking to you about every year, kind of seeing where we are. Dr. Lee, can you tell us how these topics are part of the public health mandate?
Yeah, so food insecurity is a public health issue because individuals' health and well-being are really tightly linked with their household food security. And living with food insecurity means not getting enough food, which means also vitamins, minerals, energy, and other nutrients that would be needed for healthy growth and development, and to maintain overall mental health and physical health as well. So there is evidence that shows that nutritious food intake plays a positive role in healthy pregnancies and birth outcomes as well, and healthy growth and development in childhood, as well as through adulthood, and later in life, prevention of chronic diseases, or risk reduction rather of these chronic diseases, and also management of chronic diseases for those who have it. So addressing food insecurity would be then linked to things like the use of the healthcare system, people's, and not just, I would say, mental and physical health, but also things like stress levels, right? The ability for people to have time and space in their day to do all the other things in their lives that are well beyond food as well. So the living wage data that we do as part of our work every year is for the LGL region, and we talk about what that information is. We have communications about what individuals can do with that information, as well as groups, including employers, and having a living wage, being paid a living wage, can support food security and overall health as well.
So lots to get to here. Dana, we'll start with you. Can you tell us about the Nutritious Food Basket program?
Yes, so each year the health unit conducts the nutritious food basket costing, and this means that we survey the cost of a variety of nutritious food items in several grocery stores across Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark. So the survey includes foods that are found in Canada's Food Guide, which includes various fresh, frozen, and canned vegetables and fruit, whole grains, and protein foods. So we use these food costs to determine the average cost of a balanced diet in Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark for different age and gender groups. The results show us that individuals and households living with food insecurity struggle to buy enough nutritious food after paying for rent, bills, and other living expenses.
Dr. Lee, maybe you can further explain what food insecurity is and how it affects public health.
Yeah, so household and individual food insecurity means not having enough money to buy healthy food. So really it is an income issue, not a food issue. When people experience food insecurity, it's not because they can't access food itself, it's because they don't have the income to buy the food. And I want to say this again because this is really, really important. Food insecurity is an income issue, not a food issue. So when people experience food insecurity, it's because they can't access the income. It's not because they can't access the food. And so, when money is tight, there's less money for food. And then also people may skip meals. They may eat less nutritious foods. They may need to prioritize food over other important things like clothing, transportation, and even medication. So all of these things are really important, not just for people's day-to-day lives, but also, again, linking back to the mental and physical health, not just in the short term, but also in the long term.
Dana, what are the findings from the Nutritious Food Basket costing for this year?
This year, we found that the average monthly cost of a nutritious food basket for a family of four, which is made up of two adults between ages 31 and 50 years, a girl aged 4 to 8 years and a boy aged 14 to 18 years. This monthly cost was $1,196, and that's current as of June this year. So we can take this monthly food cost and compare it to various income and expense scenarios for different age and gender groups. One example is a family of four receiving Ontario Works. This family has a monthly income of $2,916. When we subtract the cost of rent, which is an average of $1,964 for a three-bedroom unit in our region, this family is left with $952 to pay for everything else for the entire month, and that's before accounting for the cost of food. After paying for rent, the amount of money that this family has left over is not enough to cover the cost of nutritious food, let alone all other expenses that need to be paid, which could include hydro, transportation, insurance, phone and internet, childcare, clothing, household supplies, toiletries, over-the-counter medications, extracurricular activities, school supplies, and others. From this scenario, we can see how food budgets are often cut in order to pay for other expenses.
So obviously not leaving enough money to cover all those expenses, is that where health equity comes in? Jess, what can be done to change this?
So while alone, these solutions may not be sufficient to eliminate poverty, together they can help. So supporting and expanding tax filing initiatives targeted at low-income households. Ensuring access to safe, affordable housing, childcare, and transportation. Implement basic income, or sorry, basic minimum employment standards to reduce precarious employment. Encourage local businesses and agencies to become living wage employers. Ensure social assistance rates, minimum wage provide for the basic cost of living. Broader society changes to our approach to income, including basic income policies. And finally, looking at food banks, which are an important resource for our communities. And we know that more people are needing to access food banks. However, they are intended to be a short-term solution for individuals and don't address the broader systemic problems that are rooted in poverty.
Maybe Jess, you can explain more about the living wage program and what it means for communities in Lanark, Leeds, and Granville.
So a living wage is the minimum hourly wage a worker needs to earn in order to cover their basic expenses, such as housing, nutritious foods, and clothing, and participate fully in their community. So it's calculated yearly using community data and advocates for discussion around what it costs to live in a given area. So for this year in 2024, the living wage for Leeds, Granville, and Lanark is $21.65. With last year being $20.60. So with currently our minimum wage across Ontario is $17.20 as of October 1st of this year. The one thing an organization can do to support this movement is become a living wage employer. Living wage employers are certified organizations or companies that reflect the values of Living Wage Ontario and pay their employees at the rate of living wage or more for the region that they operate in. And so, for more information on that, you can just go to www.ontariolivingwage.ca.
It's astounding. It's over a dollar that it's gone up in a year. And I mean, we see the cost of food out there is really the prime indicator. I mean, everything else has gone up as well, but that number kind of shocking. Dr. Lee, did it surprise you when you saw that?
Like yes and no, right? Like I think in public health, we're often quite attuned to what's happening in not just people's health, but also well-being, right? And I would certainly put all of this discussion today about living wage, about the nutritious food basket into that category. And so I think it's not surprising because we've known that people are seeing the cost of living rise. What does surprise me is the difference between the minimum wage and the living wage for our region. And I have to say, in a lot of ways, our region is perhaps considered across Ontario to be a relatively low cost of living region. And so we might imagine that a minimum wage across the province can present different challenges in different regions. It's certainly important for people to be able to afford Not just food, but we covered as well some of those basic necessities that are important for people to have the health and well-being to do all the other things in that they need to for both themselves and their families. And so, the conversation today is part of that, but certainly we have resources on our website that go further into details, has further analysis, more details about different types of households and their experience with both the nutritious food basket as well as the costs of day-to-day life. So our website, as always, healthynet.org. We have information about food insecurity, the nutritious food basket program, health equity and living wage in different parts of our website. And you can always contact us directly by phone or email. We have lots of information and resources as well.
Thank you very much for that, Dr. Lee. Jess, just a quick question. I don't mean to put you on the spot or anything like this, but you talk about the organizations who become living wage employer. Do we see the number of those on the rise? Are there more of them? Does it sort of hold steady? I know a lot of the businesses in Lanark County would certainly do it if they could, but where are we sort of with that?
If you go, I don't know the exact numbers, Bob, but if you go on the Living Wage Ontario website, they do actually have a nice catalog across Ontario of all the living wage employers. And I believe they have increased slightly this year. And they do as well, the organization really reaches living wage employers once they know what that living wage increase is going to be ahead of time so that the employers can try and match that for the rest of the year. So they're in constant communication with their living wage employers and work really closely with them.
Jessica McKenzie, public health nurse and health equity coordinator. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Bob.
Dana Douglas, registered dietitian and public health nutritionist. Always a pleasure to speak with you as well.
Thanks for having us.
And Dr. Lena Lee, medical officer of health with the Leeds, Granville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Until next week.
Absolutely. See you soon.